With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Well, hello and welcome to this very special edition of EvoStick Extra this week. I'm Ben, and coming up in the show, we'll be celebrating the champions, FC United, Michelover Sports, and Salford City, as well as the award winners from last weekend's special award ceremony down at that Holiday Inn in Barnsley. Also coming up in the show, we'll be reviewing last weekend's fixtures with the dynamic James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group, and we'll be posing questions to the future with our very own Mystic Meg, Andrew Simpson from the Mid Cheshire Guardian. But before all of that, here's the news with Ben. Over to you, Ben. And we start this week's news with a big congratulations, firstly, to Michelover Sports on winning the EvoStick Northern Premier League's First Division South Championship last Saturday. Sports clinched the title and promotion thanks to their 3-2 win at Lincoln United on the penultimate weekend of the regular season. For more on this now, I'm going to hand over to James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group, who did an interview in the past with two players from Michelover Sports.
I'm now joined by Liam Walsh and Andy Dales, who have both won player and young player for the First Division South, both of Michelover Sport. Obviously, it's hard to ignore both attempts in the league this year. Obviously, champions of the First Division South. Any thoughts of going into the Premier League next season at all?
No, I think we're under no illusion. It's a massive step. I've played there before and it is a huge step. But I think with the players that we've got and the management team involved, I know they'll be bringing a lot of quality in. And hopefully we can really push on from here, yeah.
Yeah, also the same, like I said, the management that we've got here is superb. Backroom staff and everything, just brilliant. So like I said, hopefully we can push on. And even people might think we won't be able to even push into promotion. We'll definitely stay up, so I think we've got a great chance. Of all the players we've got, definitely, yeah.
Obviously, you've both picked up both awards tonight. What does it mean for you to both to win these awards tonight?
For me, I mean, I'm 34 on Tuesday, so it's massive, to be honest. I mean, to get sort of managers from the league, other managers not your own, actually voting for you, it's huge and it means a lot. So, yeah, really happy.
Yeah, the same, really. Obviously, I'm only a young player and I've come from Derby under-21s and come down to this level. It's been hard with, obviously, the strength and the difficulty, but I think I've done all that. And then, like I said, all the managers who are voting for you, it's been really good. So, yeah, really pleased. Yeah.
And finally, we don't get a lot of Division 1 South correspondence, but obviously, whilst we're both here, any thoughts on the upcoming playoff fight? Obviously, we've one game left to go.
I'd love Leap to do it, to be honest. They've pushed us all season and it's been very close. I mean, we beat them quite tight as well. And, yeah, I'd love to see them do it.
I'm the same, really, Leap, yeah. Obviously, I think there's quite a few teams who could really push for it, to be fair. I think Spalding, some Coldfield, I think there's quite a few tough teams in. But like Walsh said there, I think Leap, he said, they beat us quite heavily, we beat them quite heavily. I think they're the team who me and Walsh, like I said, would prefer to push for and get to that where we are next season.
Thank you, James, there. Next up, congratulations to Salford City on winning the EvoStick Northern Premier League's First Division North Championship on Tuesday night without even having to kick a ball. The Amis clinched title and promotion to the top flight with a game to go after second place Darlington failed to beat Warrington to keep the title race alive. For more on this now, over to me speaking to the lovely Laura Flint from Salford City. Right, from a Salford perspective now, there's only one place we can go to, really. It's Laura Flint, social media officer for Salford City. Hello, Laura. How are you?
Absolutely amazing. Thank you.
I bet you are. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You've won it a game in advance. How does it feel?
Oh, unbelievable. I think I'm still a little bit in shock. I actually went to Warrington Darlington last night just because I felt like I couldn't just sit at home waiting for the result. I felt like I needed to be there. And there were a few of us there, only I would say about 10. But it was nice to be with all the Salford people at the final whistle so that we could celebrate together. And it was only about 4 or 5 hours later it sunk in that, because all we kept saying was we're champions, and then later it sunk in we're playing in the Prem next year. It was like I hadn't made the connection that we're going to be playing in the Prem next year.
This is the highest Salford's ever been, isn't it? What kind of a season have you had?
Obviously, the biggest thing for us actually happened last season. The takeover happened last season. So we all had high expectations and, you know, we're full of anticipation, excitement for the season. Started brilliantly, absolutely amazing start. And then I think a lot of teams had sort of sussed how we played. We found it hard. Other teams came good and had, you know, they all went on good runs as well. So it was a little bit up and down. We've always been in the top sort of few places, but I think we were all becoming a little bit worried, particularly when Darlington were collecting games in hand on us. And then the new management have come in, and I think it's 14 wins from 16 since they came in, which is just unbelievable at this stage in the season when there's so much pressure.
What's this mean for the club, and what's the target then next season? Have you thought that far ahead?
No. I would imagine you know, the powers that be have. For me, at the moment, I just want to absolutely milk it for all it's worth, that the dream that was... You know, we were talking about earlier to get promoted. We were talking at the start of the season has actually come true. I'm still in shock a little bit. But the best thing for me is, you know, committee people and volunteers and fans like my dad who've watched Salford since the 70s, seeing something like this that you never thought would happen to our football club has happened. And it's just amazing.
And lastly, Laura, I won't keep you waiting because your mobile's going berserk, isn't it, today?
It is.
Salford City against Ossett Town this Saturday. Do you want to sell the fixture? What's going on Saturday at Moor Lane?
Well, on Saturday, once again, our owners have very generously made it free entry for everybody, which I think is fantastic. If you're in a position to be able to do that, to try and encourage people to come. So for both Ossett and ourselves, it's free for everybody. So I'd really encourage people to come down. It should be a great atmosphere, wonderfully relaxed for us fans, because we can just go out and enjoy the game, knowing that at the end we'll be presented with the trophy and we'll be champions. So it should just be a massive party on Saturday. So I really hope the people of Salford, a city of 220,000 people, I really hope a few more hundred or even a couple of thousand might come and give the lads a cheer that they deserve for winning the league.
Well, Laura Flint, thanks for joining us this week. Congratulations again. And we'll be seeing you on next week's MPL show, won't we?
You will. Just try and shut me up next week.
It's a challenge, but I find it difficult shutting Swampy up. So two of you will be fine. I'm sure you'll cancel each other out. And finally from me, congratulations to FC United of Manchester on winning the Evo Stick Northern Premier League's Premier Division Championship on Tuesday night. The fan-run club clinched the title and promotion on their 10th anniversary with a 1-0 win over Stourbridge. Greg Daniels scoring the decisive goal at the Tameside Stadium to send FC United 5 points clear of Workington. For more on this now, here is that guy called Swamper interviewing FC United General Manager Andy Walsh.
Well, with Andy Walsh, Andy, 10 years, new ground, fitting that FC perhaps should win it in the manner they have, a tough season, some great football being played, and as a football fan first and foremost, what are your feelings this evening about actually winning the league in the manner that we have?
Very proud, really, proud and pleased for the manager and for the players. You know, winning championships doesn't come around very often. And you've got to enjoy it when it does. And I'm really pleased for Carl and for the players, and I'm very pleased for all the supporters that it's a brilliant achievement to do it in our 10th anniversary year on the verge of going at the ground. Is ever more so poignant, really.
So you're saying it was all planned?
Everything's planned. Everything's planned.
It certainly is. But at the same time, in the same token, talking to other journalists this evening about the FC model and about the fact that as a fan ownership and certainly in Supporters Direct Week where we've just come out of now, you've got to be very proud from a standpoint of what this club has achieved, the fans, yourself as a general manager came into it completely blind, never been involved in anything really like this before in the respect of, you know, you as an individual, you come from a different background, you've grasped that together with the great board, great support behind you. And it's going to be a very proud moment for not only winning the league, but in the manner we have in regards to the fact that we've built our own ground, there's a new community facility for people of North Manchester, and at the same time, as a supporters owned club, it's a beacon to move forward with and tell everybody else this is achievable for everybody.
I think it is very much achievable for everybody. Every football club should be supporter owned. There's no reason why they shouldn't, and our task is to show how that can be done, and I think we're doing immensely well. You know, 10 years ago when we first started, people didn't give us 6 months, and here we are 10 years on, with more members, more season ticket holders, and about to move into a £6.5 million facility, you know, football ground, training pitch and junior pitches. It's a tremendous achievement, and it stands testimony to the tenacity and belief and vision of our supporters. And if we can do it at our level, starting from scratch, it can be done at any level. And football will be all the richer if every club was supporter-owned.
Very briefly, put your commercial head on, I suppose, in a general manager's perspective. How important was it for FC this season, above all seasons, with the new ground, with the expectation of the community, people going to want to come and watch that haven't necessarily seen FC United that much, but within the community a lot of talk about it. What financial implication of winning a division do you think it will have, and impact it will have going forward for FC United next season?
I think it will make a big difference to the way the football club runs and operates. You know, stepping up means that we'll get more attention. When you step up, then the press pay a bit more attention to the higher divisions than they do to Step 3 football. More away supporters travelling. But really, it for me, genuinely, it's about what we're building for the long term here. It's our long term legacy. It's about developing a model of football where supporters are at the heart of everything, where supporters are the ones that are making the key decisions, where the football club is a sustainable model, patiently built for the long term.
And with that, Ben, that's the news. A big congratulations to FC United of Manchester, Salford City, and of course, Michalova Sports. But that's the news with me, Ben. Back over to you, Ben.
Hello.
Hello, James. Thank you to Ben there for the news. But it's now time to go to James Hayes, who's... Where are you?
Well, I thought I might as well enjoy the excitement once again, and decided to go to the world famous Manchester Premier Cup final.
That's
between
right.
Curzon and Mosley.
That's right. Boom. what's the atmosphere like there, James? It sounds electric.
It is getting busy, but considering it is a derby as well between the two in a final, I wouldn't expect anything different.
Yeah. Should I ask you what your gut feeling is about this fixture? Okay. What do you reckon?
It's going to be penalties. It's a free Manchester Cup match.
Right. So, James Hayes, there's been some movement this week. Firstly, last night, we're recording this on Wednesday, I should say. Last night, FC United hosted Stourbridge. Greg Daniels scoring the winner on the 69th minute in front of 3,588 supporters, winning the league. Tea got bought, a round of drinks. What do you reckon?
As I said last night on FC United Radio, I think it's the result we were all waiting for. We said it about Skelmersdale, we said it about Ilkeston. It's happened now with FC United. Worthy winners of the season, and it was a good game last night as well. Even if it was 0-0, it would have been a great 0-0 game because it was end-to-end for the entire match. So, obviously, we're waiting for FC United to conceal it, and but what happened, they finally did it. They've gone...
And that where that leaves Workington, Workington are second now. They need at least a draw on Saturday. Workington's had a good go at it, haven't they?
They have been. I mean, obviously, if they was going to go to the last day, Workington would have absolutely pushed FC, you know, given the chance they had, especially being so far behind earlier in the season as well. So I think now they've got home advantage as well. It'll be an interesting game to see at up in Workington against the top two teams this season. I think more just for bragging rights, even though it's all over and finished. So,
just to say, Ilkeston hosted Workington on Saturday, going down 3-0. And like I said, that's a cracking effort by Workington. That kept The Finger Live. FC United beat Stamford by 3-1, and they come midweek and they only need a point, and they beat Stourbridge by 1-0. Workington, as I said, need a point now at least on Saturday to make the playoffs. Ashton United on Saturday, well, they went up to Whitby and got beat by 2-0, but then shored things up on Tuesday evening, beating Witton Albion by 2-1.
I mean, with Ashton, the damage was done on the Saturday for them, knowing that they couldn't win the league anymore on the last, going into the last two games of the season. So naturally, I think they got, obviously for the big advantage for them now is they need to get the home advantage in the playoffs. Obviously, with potentially Curzon or Blyth Spartans at this moment in time, the shock team for myself to be there at this moment, at this point. I've said week in, week out, but home advantage is massively important in the playoffs. Especially when you, if it's coming to a derby day, because you want to win on your home ground and get up on your home terms. So it's going to be interesting, especially on the last day.
Let's go to Curzon Ashton. Curzon Ashton 4, Hales Owen Town 1. Just reaffirming, basically, Curzon Ashton are more or less in the playoffs now, would we say? They just need a point, don't they, this weekend?
I think they pretty much secured anyway. But again, they've got, if Ashton United slip up, they've got the home advantage if they get the result they need. So again, you can't come into the last day. I know this is the review bit and not the preview bit, but it's going to be interesting coming to the last two games of the season for both of them, and they're both away, as far as I am aware. So it's going to be interesting to watch, on that, especially when I'm only down the road at Drolsden as well.
Let's move then to your surprise, Blyth Spartans. It's only surprise, basically, because of the number of games they've had. But Witton Albion 1, Blyth Spartans 5 on Saturday.
That's a big, big result. I mean, considering what has happened with Witton Albion recently on the good form. So, obviously, I said last week, Blyth are known to scoring goals, and they proved themselves right. And again, they just want to reaffirm themselves. Obviously, Robbie Dale winning that is Supporters Player of the Year trophy this week as well. I think Ryan's saying he got a hat-trick on that game as well, if I'm correct.
James, this is the perfect moment to introduce your interview. So, last weekend, you all went over to Barnsley. I believe you were up till 6:30 in the morning.
There were some rumours of that, yes.
Yes. And in fact, some people said you never actually went to bed. You just kept walking around the Barnsley Town Centre for a number of days going, where's Oakwell?
No comment.
So you got some interviews with the Player of the Year. Introduce this. Go on, James. Introduce your interview.
I'm throwing myself to myself in Barnsley to speak to Robbie Dale.
I'm now joined by Robbie Dale, who's just tonight has picked up not only the Premier League Visions Player of the Season, but also the vote that you all made for the Supporters Player of the Year. Quickly, before we can move on to Supporters 1, obviously big winner on the night, but we can get most awards. How is it you feel about winning both awards?
It's an honour to win all the awards. I think this season, between the three divisions, we've played people in the lower ones in the cups. I think the league's full of good players. And if anybody likes the way I've played or whatever, I'm really happy and appreciate anybody that's given us a vote.
I mean, obviously, fantastic season with Blyth, not only in the league, and he's still got a chance with the playoffs at this moment as well, but in the FA Cup as well. What's your thoughts going on into the last couple of weeks of the season and then potentially into next season as well, the Barnsley division?
We've got a couple of must-win games this week, and we'll see how that makes. If we get in the playoffs, we'll get in the playoffs. If we don't, we've got to make a proper push at it next year. The Cup was a great thing to have, but the Cup was so far behind in the league. Yeah. But you would never swap that. The Cup runs massive for the club, financial, everything.
And final, quick one, obviously, again, coming back to the Supporters Player of the Year, it's been one in a, coming from such a strong field this year as well, in regards with not only Greaves and Cartman, but about potentially 20 potential winners. Have you got anything to say to the supporters about voting you as a winner?
Well, so I appreciate everybody that's voted for us. Like I say, there's so many good players that you're watching week in, week out. I've got my favourite players that I like to watch, and they weren't even in the shortlist, like, so the people that are. And the shortlist is class. I mean, Cartman's got 45 goals or whatever it is, and Ray Greaves are massively. I think he'd probably be mine, like, right up there. He's great centre forward. I love to play in the same team as people like that. But just thanks to everybody that's voted.
James, that was a beautifully done interview there. You've got some other interviews lined up now?
Yeah, obviously, it was not just all about the Premier Division. We've got Division 1 North as well, speaking to their players of the year, Mr. Nathan Cartman of First Division North.
So I'm now joined by Nathan Cartman of Darlington and formerly of Harrogate Railway, top goal scorer in the First Division North and winner of Player of the Year for the Division, as well as one of the top three in the Supporters Player of the Year. Obviously, we'll come to the player of the year, but what does it mean to yourself to win the award tonight?
It means a lot, obviously, to my family as well. So well, I'm just overwhelmed. I don't really know what to say. I didn't really come expecting it, so all I got told is I was in Team of the Year, and that's it. So just come expecting to be in that, not picking up the three awards that I collected.
So. I mean, obviously, you've had a fantastic season, not only at Darlington, but pretty much the best that a striker could have at non-league level at all with Harrogate Railway. As the jump, obviously, no disrespect to the Harrogate fans listening, but the jump from Harrogate to Darlington, has that improved you as a player, or is it a bit more fresher?
I wouldn't say it's improved me as a player. It's just, unless it's just that big of a club, it's a bit, it is a jump, but it is the same league, so I'm still coming up against the same players, so I'm still doing the same things, but obviously the goals haven't flowed as much as I'd like, but still contributing towards the team.
Okay. Obviously, you're going to come across as a supporters player, even though I know you didn't win the award tonight, but you were effectively the ranked player in the First Division North. What does it mean for the supporters to not, even though we've got third place, what does it mean for you to win such an award off the supporters?
Yeah, it's obviously the fans have voted, and there's thousands of fans out there voting, so I'd just like to thank them now and say thanks for all the votes off them.
Right, beautifully done there, James. Well done. And congratulations for staying up late. Just to say, kids, it's not smart and it's not clever to stay up past your bedtime.
Anyway. Oh, congratulations to the MPL show for staying up as late as I did as well.
Yes. and can I just put on record, another year without an award. Not even best podcast. Anyway, so let's draw our eyes to... just before we go, your thoughts on the playoff then, who out of Blyth, Ilkeston and Curzon, what's going to happen?
I could see a small shock, but I think it's more in regards to who'll get the home advantage.
Right.
So I could possibly... I think we might see one final shock in the top half, but who knows? I think the top five are there for now, but whoever has the overall home advantage could change on the last day.
Okay. Down the bottom then, let's rattle through these results. It's becoming a bit more clearer down the bottom. There's certain sides who've been hanging around, like Ramsbottom, Nantwich, Matlock Town. They're way out of it now. Marine 2, Belper Town 2. I'm going to suggest that's points dropped there by Marine.
Big ones dropped as well, considering what could happen on the last day as well. So Marine now have to win against Blyth Spartans to stay in this division.
That's going to be a big game. Also on Saturday last week, obviously Stamford got beat 3-1 to FC United of Manchester. No surprise there. I hear everyone cry at home. Witton Albion, though, as we said, going down 5-1. To Blyth Spartans. We're going to be speaking to Andrew Simpson very shortly from the Mid Cheshire Guardian, but I think midweek going down 2-1 to Ashton United is no disgrace.
It isn't at all, especially with Ashton playing, needing what they needed to do. I mean, Witton Albion did have the lead in that game as well, hoping to cause an upset and secure their own safety for this season. But again, it's going to make the last day of the season very, very tasty down that bottom end. Seeing as Witton Albion have got to play Stamford as well on the last day.
Big game. So. And lastly, exactly. Ramsbottom United 0, Frickley 0. What do you make of that?
I mean, that doesn't do any favours for either team except for Ramsbottom United, who secured safety. But more than anything, Frickley have now got that. We've all said all season they might just edge away from it now. That's not possible. They've got to go and win, considering the situations in the Ryman League as well. The AGM Cup, which I won't mention at this time, but it's not just when you get relegation that you can't control effectively. That's what makes the last day really, really interesting as well, because it's going to be difficult because you know you have to win, and yet it might not be enough. You need favours elsewhere.
Division 1 North, if we could just drift to that, it's all settled. Salford have won it. Darlington are going to be second. There's a question mark who's going to finish third and fourth. And Spennymoor Town has that final playoff spot nailed. But Division 1 South, it's a bit more exciting.
It is.
Michelover Sports, congratulations to them. I said that earlier, but congratulations again. Leake Town are sorted in second. Newcastle Town are pretty much nailed on for third. Then there's
I think we fixtures the on the last day. I think they have secured third as well. So
so that leaves us then with this four-way battle for two playoff spots between Gresley, Sutton Coldfield Town, Spalding United, and Stafford Rangers. Ooh,
and
Go on.
Oh, and to make it even better as well, it's Stafford v Gresley on Saturday for one of the spots.
That's right.
I mean, Spalding missed their opportunity on Tuesday night as well to secure their playoff spot. Obviously, dropping points against Chasetown, I believe. So, obviously, they're going to be going on to last day with a little bit of nerves in the backsides, really, just to... But again, they've got... If that, without meaning it in their own way, Spalding. Yeah, sure. But for a team, like I said, we mentioned it all season on the main podcast where the United Counties League isn't necessarily a strong one. They've proven themselves in these divisions, and the fans have proven it off the pitch as well to make sure that they can actually get promoted. So congratulations to Spalding on that regard, but can they do it and get into the playoffs? I mean, I know they've got an away tie to play now, pretty much, so naturally it depends what can they do and can they cause a massive shock in them playoffs. We saw it last year with Mikulova and Belper making the final and Belper winning it from fifth place. So Spalding could do the same, I reckon.
Lastly, before we go, breaking news, everyone. On Thursday, the 30th of April, there will be an EvoStick NPL show special live from Edgeley Park as we're going to bring you Farnsley against Warrington Town in the final of the Dudeson Sports Cup. Where's it going, James?
Well, Sean Reid's... Both managers were talking about it on the Sunday night as well and giving it a bit of argy-bargy between this. Obviously, it didn't kick off. That might have just
no,
added.
No, sure.
But there is quite a bit of there is quite a bit of interest in this as well. And myself and Swampy were thinking it's not going to be like last year's final. It could be a proper ding-dong as well where we could see both sides absolutely going for it. I mean, it's very rare to see first division teams in the final of a competition, regardless of the cup, which cup it is. But again, Warrington with a massive cup form and Farsley have been upsetting teams all season in this competition. Being an end of season, one of the last games of the season as well adds to that tension. So I'm looking forward to it on Thursday night.
Well, kickoff in that one is going to be at 7:45 p.m. Kickoff though in the Manchester Premier Cup is also at 7:45 p.m. Which means we're going to have to go now, James, because it's getting to a tense time where the cheerleaders come out and everything, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. I mean, I've got Laura Flint put on my shoulder here, guessing to speak about Salford. So if you want to speak to her,
I've already interviewed her, mate. I interviewed her earlier. Don't ruin the order. I've already interviewed her on the show. James, would you like to give a little plug before we go of the work that you do with the NPL Facebook group?
Yeah, facebook.com/groups/the NPL or on Twitter at the NPL group. And well done to Radcliffe Borough for winning the annual awards night competition we have in private.
What the hell's that? What's that?
You know what I mean.
What? Yeah, you mean you stayed up late?
Yes. That's always last seat of bed.
Anyway, like, as I said, boys and girls, what James is celebrating there is not smart and it's not clever.
It is. No.
Anyway, James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group. Have fun and we'll see you on Wednesday for the NPL show. Dave. Right, thank you to James Hayes there, but it's now time to draw our eyes to the future and to ponder and ask questions of the future. And to join me to do that, it's Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian. Hello, Andrew, how are you?
Hello from Relegation Corner.
That's right, right. So, it's not really a corner anymore, it's more like some...
It's a square, isn't it?
It's a square. It's a four-sided square. Yeah. It's beautiful metaphors going on here. Anyway, how should we start? Should we start at the bottom or should we start at the top?
I think start at the top. Let's start on a happy note.
So SC United won the league midweek. That was nice.
Well done to them, by the way. Yeah. Can I get my congratulations in? Worthy champions. And it's really been brilliant to see on social media and stuff, kind of very popular champions as well, which I hope, it's nice to see when people, there's kind of a genuine warmth towards FC United getting over the finish line. I think that's been an even bigger positive in the past 24 hours or so. So nice to see.
And also offering their congratulations was Workington Town last night, and that's where FC United's heading. And that match could have been really big.
It could, couldn't it? And I suppose for a wee while last night until Daniels got the winner, there was always that kind of that seed of doubt going, what if Stourbridge score a goal here? But anyway, yeah, there's less riding on this one now. Although Workington, if they draw, they're guaranteed to finish second. I don't know how important that is to them, because whatever happens on Saturday, they will be at home in the playoff semi-finals. So it'll be interesting to see how they approach the game, really. Will they save everybody for...
It'd be interesting how FC United approach that game. I mean, they've said they're going to really try and get 95 points on the board. But we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot of beer on that bus. On the
I'd like a Mike Norton goal. Can that be arranged, a Mike Norton goal?
Oh, they tried. Don't get me wrong. They did try on Saturday last week, but he did a couple of air shots and it was... they were trying. Anyway, also taking place on Saturday, where should we head to next? You're in charge.
Ashton.
I
was there last night. It was interesting. I wasn't sure how they were going to approach it with... I mean, they mathematically needed a point to get over the line. So in the end, Paul Phillips and Steve Holford put their strongest team out last night and came from behind to get a 2-1 win against Witten. That secured, firstly, their place in the playoffs. Although, interestingly, in his post-match interview, Steve Holford said they really wanted now to finish second, a kind of extra feather in the cap. So whether he was just saying that and he might have a rethink with a semi-final on the horizon. FC United would need to beat Workington for Ashton to have a chance of finishing second. I would expect them to beat Rushall if they are going to take it as seriously as he said. Saw a little glimpse last night into just how strong Ashton are at home. They've won 8 of the past 9 now at Hurst Cross. That said, Rushall are finishing the season quite nicely, actually. Right. And they've,
Andrew, I hate to interrupt you, but at this point, I'm going to read you out a bit of correspondence just to say how seriously Rushall are taking this one. David Osborne has been in touch to say, Ashton away for Rushall. I shall not be wearing fancy dress, as apparently I dress up silly anyway. Probably a draw. So all eyes are on fancy dress this Saturday for the Rushall away fans.
Wouldn't it be great if the players were in fancy dress? That would be... some
of the kits this season have been abysmal. Hey, I'm not naming names.
Right, in that case then, maybe Rushall will be... what's the horrible cliche that... Rushall might be on the beach. So
that's the one.
Home win.
Right, next up. Who's next? Frickley. No, not Frickley.
Frickley Curzon. Yeah, I mean, this is... Frickley Curzon, you'd look at it and think, oh, this is a really important game. But in my kind of quieter moments today with my calculator, my pencil and my endless bundles of paper, actually, both of these teams, a draw suits them beautifully. If Frickley get a draw, they can't be caught by any of the teams currently in the bottom four. And Curzon Ashton, if they get a draw, can't be caught by Blyth Spartans in sixth place. So I wonder what I should put my money on.
One of those, Germany v Austria years ago? That kind of game.
Indeed. People who follow me will know I'm a student of Italian football. They actually have a phrase for this in Serie A, which is called a biscotto, which basically means where it suits everybody, the result that suits everybody. So I'm bringing a bit of Serie A to the Northern Premier League. I think we'll see a biscotto and a nice handy draw for everybody on Saturday.
We'll be covering relegation shortly, but with that draw, potential draw for Frickley, that puts them on 50 points. More on that, Mark, very shortly.
Indeed.
Let's discuss Blyth then. So Blyth, for a long time, I've had all these games in hand. They've been playing, They've been playing Saturday, Monday, Thursday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday. They've been playing a lot. It's been happy days. Yeah. But they've put this run together and are now in with a shout of getting in the playoffs, which is remarkable.
Absolutely. I think they'll do it. I think, obviously, I saw them at Winchin Park last Saturday. They won 5-1 against Witten, although it was a bit of a freak in circumstances they did it. That said, Blyth still needed to be professional and get the job done, and they absolutely were. And they put themselves in a great position, unbeaten now in 15 league games. They have to win, really. Mm-hmm. A point will only be enough if Ilkeston lose at Nantwich. We'll come on to Ilkeston in a sec. But it's all out for them. They'll go for the win. This is obviously one of the biggest games today because Marine. Yeah. Have to win. There's no ifs, buts, maybes for them. They have to win, or it's curtains. Marine has been discussed many, many times on the show in the past few weeks. Put themselves in a great position, unbeaten in 8 games. And to be fair, they held Blyth to a 3-0 draw last month at the Arriva. So they know they can give Blyth a game. I expect it to be a fantastic occasion up there on Saturday.
Nantwich Town are playing Ilkeston. And the reason why, even though Ilkeston are fifth and I've left to sixth in this discussion, they are on the slide a bit, aren't they?
It feels a little bit. I mean, I know publicly Kevin Wilson has said that he'd love to sign off by getting the club promoted and through the playoffs, but it feels like the wind has come out of the sails since that announcement a couple of weeks ago. They've lost their past two. And they're going to a place where, I mean, it'll be interesting. Nantwich's approach will be interesting. When they're finishing the season on a real high, they've climbed to 14th now and have survived by some distance. They're also in great nick at home, only lost one of the past eight. So the way they're going, you'd expect them to try and, you know, they probably will be quite up for finishing on a high by getting 3 points, which I fancy them to do. I mean, you've not asked me to predict, but I think it's Ilkeston that are going to miss out, because I think that Nantwich will get a result on Saturday and Blyth therefore will overtake Ilkeston and pinch that fifth place.
Just before we get on to the very big game of the weekend, I'm just going to focus on the fixtures where we've had some correspondence. Buxton against Barwell, Mark Joyce. Bucks, another game with no bearing against Barwell. Can the Bucks finish off the season with a home win? Home form has let us down this season, messed our playoff ambitions. And not only that, Mark, I'd just like to remind you, I did have you down as my favourites for this season's league title. So thank you.
So not only have they let themselves down,
they've let me down. That's right. Yeah. And Halesow in town against Grantham. If you were asking what the game of the day is, probably not this one. But anyway, Rob Lloyd, a huge game at the Grove as we welcome Grantham in our final game to see who finishes 11th.
A win to definition of a huge game, though.
I think so. A win to finish off our debut season in the NPL, which would be great. And then we hope we stay in the North next season. Thanks to all clubs for an enjoyable season. Even Stourbridge, he says. Ooh. Right, so there's other matches which take place. Look on the website for that. But big game of the day, Stamford against Witton Albion. To be honest with you, some of these fixtures are... Even the Workington FC United one, there was a hint of fate to all these fixtures. Trafford are playing Belper, for example, to decide. Does that decide who finishes bottom of the table? It does.
It's Wooden Spoon Derby.
It's amazing how this has all worked out. How are you feeling?
Oh, I've felt so many things over the past few weeks that I've forgotten really how I feel. I mean, it felt pretty low driving home last night because, you know, Witten actually played really well at Ashton and deservedly were winning at half time, and you thought, oh, maybe they will get the job done tonight, which would have been a tremendous result, as I just said earlier, how well Ashton are doing at home. But they just ran into a better team. They just ran into a team that just had a little bit too much for them. The big, big worry for Witten is that April has been a disaster. They've lost four of the five games. The other game was that 0-0 with FC United, which obviously was a really creditable result. Mm-hmm. But they go to Stamford in poor form, in low spirits, of course, because I think, and I put a stat out on Twitter today, the contrast with March, which was their best month of the season, they picked up 13 points, they'd got up to 15th in the table. There was just this psychology at Witten that I think they've done enough. And then they went into Easter, and I think that's the moment when things changed. They had those two games against Whitby and Nantwich. They probably only needed to win one to sow their place in the season in the league for next season. Lost them both, and they've not really ever seemed to recover from that, despite, as I say, that great result against FC. That said, the FC United game, the first half an hour against Blyth and last night against Ashton, they have played well. So against three very difficult opponents, they have shown a bit of spirit, shown that, you know, a little bit of form as well. So the problem with this game is, as I said to you before we started recording, is that, you know, you can study form tables, you can look at past records and all of these different things. It's just kind of, there's so much of a kind of element of risk in this fixture for Witten now. Even the fact that two results out of three suit them, so a draw is enough to survive. Does that change their psychology? I mean, it's that Stamford's team talk is, well, we have to win. Same as with St. Marine before, they have to win. Witten is an element of... They could introduce an element of calculation because, oh, well, a draw's okay, so do we need to bust our gut to win the game? And it's going to be fascinating to see how, you know, how Sully approaches it. When I spoke to him after the game last night, he said he was quite defiant, as he always is, and said, no, we'll go for it. We want to go down there and stay up on our own terms, and the best way to do that is to win. So that was his thoughts yesterday, but he'll have got a few days to think about the approach, and that's what I'll be looking for in the early stage of the game on Saturday, whether they've kind of gone there thinking, okay, well, a draw is enough, so let's see what Stamford are going to do and go from there, or whether they go down and try and impose themselves. So that's the psychology from the Witten point of view. Stamford, we're talking about fate.
Do you want me to tell you what Stampy thinks?
What? Yeah, I do. I want to know what the mood is down there.
Stampy says, a nervous time at Stamford AFC as we need a win for the first time in the league at Borderville. Cue lots of squeaky bums on. You can't make up your own hashtag. Hashtag Survival Saturday. That's too Jeff Stelling that for Man
United. It is a bit, yeah, it is. I mean...
Shame. And hopefully, an 86-minute winner that secures safety and Frickley getting a reprieve. So there we go. But
he doesn't want much, does he?
No, he doesn't. But just to say, it looks like the high water mark is going to be 50 points, which is what you said a few weeks ago. More than that, about 8 weeks ago, I think you said
Some time ago, yeah. We did have a discussion. I spoke to Mark Harris, the chairman of Witten, chairman of the league, and obviously he'd spoken to Tony Sullivan. And before they had a really critical run of games at Christmas, they came out and said, we reckon 50 points. And have never budged from that, to be fair. Even when Witten had that great run in March, Sully was saying after games, we're not at 50 yet. And coming back to that theme of fate, here we are with one game left and they're still not at that 50-point mark, which it's actually worked out perfectly, hasn't it? That is what is going to be needed to guarantee that you stay up without any of these horrible reprieve and getting your calculator out. So, yeah, it's amazing it's worked out that way. So Mark was right. It is 50 points and that's what both Witten and Stamford will be trying to reach.
And what's your gut feeling? Who's going down? And let's just assume for the time being that two teams are definitely going to go down.
I think we have to assume that. I think, you know, let's worry about the other stuff after Saturday, really, even though I have been scribbling away and ringing people up and asking them about the rules and stuff today. But I think, this is the bit where I've really dropped myself in it, but I think Blythe, because it's such an important game for them, I think they will get the result that they need against Marine, which means that as gallant an effort as it's been by Marine under Sean Hesse, and it has been, I think that it's the worst possible fixture that they could have. Yeah. And therefore, I think that Blythe will get the result that they need, which will condemn Marine. I think Frickley and Curzon will play out that draw, so that means Frickley will be okay. I don't think they're going to get sucked into it. And then...
draw.
I think that's where it's heading, I really do. Obviously, which is the result that Witten need. I think... for the risk of using the cliche klaxon, I think the first goal is important on Saturday, and the reason why is obviously because Stamford have got such a shocking record at home. If they were to go behind, there could be an element of, oh, here we go again about it.
Yeah.
Obviously, if they get the first goal, then that really does change the dynamic, because Witten are really up against it then. So that will be important. I'll be looking for that. I mean, I'm saying that Witten are out of form. I mean, Stamford are in even more shocking form. They've only won one of the past 14 games. So irrespective of what pitch they've been playing on, they're still in terrible form. So it's kind of who's going to play least badly, really. I'm heartened that I saw real fight from Witten last night. Like I say, they just ran into a team that ultimately was better than them. Yeah. So it's not that they've given up the ghost or anything like that. I'm not seeing any signs that they feel like they're condemned, despite the mortifying spanking that they got by Blythe last week. They have shown that they've kind of recovered from that. So I think that the bottom four will remain as it is.
Okay.
I think that's the way it's going to go.
Well, Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, Thank you for joining us. Good luck this weekend.
Fantastic.
All right.
Good stuff.
Nice
Good
one,
luck
mate.
To everybody on the final day.
And now for your correspondence. The big game of the day isn't what you think it is. It's actually Stafford Rangers against Gressley in Division 1 South. And Ian Lummis has been in touch to say the biggest game of the season for the two biggest clubs in Division 1 South, where both can make the playoffs. Even a draw might not do us if Sutton beat Norton in their last ever match, or Spalding get anything from a much improved Romulus side. And Richard Jarvis had been in touch about the same fixture. Let me remind you, Stafford against Gressley. He says, a huge game. There'll be huge refreshing going on people's phones checking scores from Norton and Romulus. Richard would like both teams to get into the playoffs, but as long as the Moatmen are there, that'll suffice. Staying with Division 1 South, and Paul Griffiths has been in touch to say, Kids Grove's great escape. Put 7 past Chasetown, didn't need any reprieve. Back at the net. Jack Evans says, Division 1 South playoffs has to get a mention. I don't think so, Jack, not on this show. Whilst moving up to North, Lloyd Berry's been in touch to say, fancy dress and beers away to Clitheroe for Warrington before the cup final next Thursday. We'll see you there, Lloyd. And Stuart James from the Non-League Review has been in touch to say Blyth to pip Ilkeston to the final playoff place, Witten to get a point and stay up, while Marine and Stamford will be relegated. Can we end on that cheery note? I don't think we can we? Can we? Let's try and find a happier email. Ah, here's one. Stuart Mullen has been in touch to say, I reckon FC will blow their lead. Title is easily Workington's. Now, Stuart, don't be so smug. And that concludes this week's wall of correspondence. Tune in next week. Actually, don't bother. We're not doing it next week. Tune in soon for another wall filled with your beautiful correspondence. Back over to you, Ben. And thank you, dear listener, as always, for all your beautiful correspondence. Well, that is the end of this week's Evo Stick Extra. No Evo Stick Extra next week. Instead, it's a proper Evo Stick MPL show. You can join us down at the Magnet in Stockport, the award-winning Magnet. The award-winning Magnet in Stockport from 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening. And aside from that show, we'll be back on Thursday with a live show. Yes, live. Thursday, the 30th of April, we'll be live from Stockport County's Edgeley Park to bring you live and exclusive coverage of the Duton Sports Cup Final, Farsley AFC against Warrington Town. Join us by going to the NPL Facebook group or the Evo Stick League website, or by tuning in directly on FCM Radio and clicking the play button, okay, or clicking the appropriate links, I should say. We'll be going to air at about 7:40. Yes, 7:40, I reckon. So, my thanks to this week's guest. Too many to mention, but a special congratulations to FC United of Manchester, Michalovce Sports, and of course Salford City, my third team. Remember, you can follow this show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend to enjoy your NPL football, make sure that you have fun. Seriously, do have fun. Even if you lose and you get relegated, it's still have fun. Good luck. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.